The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron White here. I'm here with Andrew Cohen. Andrew, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
You're a spiritual teacher. Love that title, by the way. Wish I could have a title like that someday. Want to learn about that, but more importantly, you're author of Evolutionize Earth Day. Tell us about your title, spiritual teacher. Love it.
Spiritual teacher means all kinds of things, but
to all kinds of people, I might add.
Means all kinds of things to all kinds of people. but what it generally supposed to mean is that the greatest. All the mystics from all the religious traditions have told us that the ultimate truth about the nature of reality is that there's only one and there's not two, and that seems to be the perennial truth is that apparently the deepest experience about the nature of reality that a human being can have is an experience of an absolute singularity or of an ultimacy, and the nature of that ultimacy is a kind of oneness. So. I suppose people like me are here and have been here throughout history to tell people that everything's okay, because the ultimate truth is that we're all part of one process and that we're not really alone. Evolutionary enlightenment puts the traditional realization of the mystic, which, as we've been saying, is the insight or the understanding that the ultimate truth about the nature of reality is that we're all part of one process, is that there's one truth. It puts it in the context of cosmic evolution. And I believe that evolution is really the biggest new idea that's come along in the last 200 years. And evolution means we're on a moving train, we're all part of a process that's going somewhere. And the good news about evolution is that we're going somewhere new. The entire creative process was a leap from nothing, from primordial emptiness, that gave rise to a material universe, to energy and matter. And energy and matter gave rise to life, and life gave rise to mind, and mind gave rise to culture. And here we are having a conversation talking about it. So if we look at evolution that way, we realize that we're all part of a process that's going somewhere new. And evolutionary enlightenment really points us to this truth that we're all going somewhere together, on a journey together, and I'm trying to get people interested in taking responsibility for where we're going.
Fascinating, and I want to hear lots of, I have lots of questions for you. In your mind, is this one truth something we discover along the journey, or is the one truth something that's bestowed upon us by a higher meaning as we go through the journey?
Well, I think it's something that we discover, and all philosophers and mystics throughout history have wanted to understand, and experience life at a deeper level. And generally, they ask the big questions like, who am I really? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of existence? And so they question all the things that their culture has told them, and they begin to look beyond what they've been told in order to see if they can discover or have a direct or immediate experience of reality itself. And I think that it's the yearning in the human experience to have a very deep experience of reality that ultimately yields these moments of insight or very deep clarity.
Tell us a little bit about evolutionary enlightenment. It ties in with that whole sort of your examination of environmental issues and how that in the context of evolutionary enlightenment.
Well, because I'm interested in evolutionary enlightenment, I'm interested in everything that has to do with the whole notion of evolution. So I see that the environmental crisis that we're facing, you know, as a result of, if we look back, as a big leap forward, and that big leap forward was the birth of modernism, the Western Enlightenment, which gave rise to the Industrial Revolution, and the Industrial Revolution made it possible for millions and millions of human beings who are living really lives at the level of slaves, more or less, to rise up and to be able and to become middle class and to gain access not only to a higher standard of living, but to education, etc. But the industrialization, which made it possible for us to change the human experience in ways that we couldn't have even imagined, has also wreaked havoc on the planet. And so you see that the Western Enlightenment, modernism, and the Industrial Revolution is both a great blessing and also a curse. And I see right now that that it seems that because part of evolution, human beings experience evolution as a drive towards innovation. Human beings are the only life forms or only species that are driven to innovate and come up with new ideas and new possibilities. And so I also see at the same time as we're being challenged with the consequences of the ravages of modernism, as a response to it, we seem to be coming up with a lot of very interesting and innovative ideas about what we can do about it. So I'm seeing this as all part of the arc of evolution itself, and of course, like everyone else, I'm crossing my fingers that we're going to figure out how to get through this before it does too much damage, or more damage.
Exactly. Talk a little bit about the tie-in with spirituality in this and the journey. You know, why do you feel we need some sort of new spirituality?
Well, because the old spirituality told us more or less, you know, in the West, they said, well, if you live a moral life, you'll get to go to heaven when you die. And in the East, they say if you meditate very deeply, then you'll be able to experience and go to some nirvanic place that will free you from embodied existence. And I think most of the religious traditions and the mystical schools of the past were pointing us to a heavenly realm, a realm of peace and joy and happiness that exists beyond the world. So most religious traditions tended to be, anti-worldly in a sense, because the ultimate promise they held for us, what we were going to experience when we die. And so the new evolutionary spirituality tells us that, in fact, it says that in the context of deep time, if we say the universe has been around for about, you know, 14 billion or 13.7 billion years, we can say it's taken the universe more or less 13.7 billion years to give rise to highly evolved sentient life forms with that have a capacity for complex thinking, for self-reflective awareness. And it's only in human consciousness that really the entire evolutionary process can awaken to itself or become conscious of itself, because when you, as an individual, or I as an individual, become aware of evolution, when we begin to understand it, feel it, see it, experience, you know, the enormous span of time that has produced the experience that we're having right now, we could say the evolutionary process is literally awakening to itself. So from that point of view, we could say that the universe is just beginning to wake up to itself through us, more or less, right now, you know, in the last couple of hundred years, 200 years, 100 years, 50 years. And it would seem that that the place we really want to be is really here in this body, you know, in this life. There's really nowhere else to go. This is really where the action is. And so the new evolutionary enlightenment tells us the ultimate goal of spirituality really is to be where we are and be very excited about where we're going and take responsibility from where we're going, rather than be concerned about where we're going to go after we die.
You were the editor-in-chief for an award-winning international magazine called Enlighten Next for about 18 years or so. Tell us about that experience. And I want to ask as well, could you tell us sort of, you know, when we use the word spirituality in our Western mentality, we think of religion and we think of church, we think of, finding, some sort of deep understanding that there's a power above us. What is your feeling on that? You know, where do you stand? You're talking as if you're a philosopher, an educator, and someone adhering to spiritual guidelines, but of tell us where you stand on those issues.
Well, the thing is that the great religious traditions, which generally came into being, 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, which told us that there was a spiritual being, a divine being that exists somehow beyond the world that was directing traffic here in the world. And, of course, Western science has proved to us that that, was never true. That's what's called mythical or magical thinking. Mm-hmm. And so in the new evolutionary approach to spirit, we realize that the energy and intelligence that created the universe and is creating the universe, that which caused the Big Bang to happen, that the nature of the drive to exist, one recognizes, we could say, is inherently a spiritual in the sense that we can recognize evolution, we can interpret it as a desire to exist. Because if we say, well, before the universe existed, before the material universe, there was nothing, there was only primordial emptiness. And then we see from that primordial emptiness, there was this huge explosion, which gave rise to those three big bangs I was speaking about earlier, from nothing to energy and matter and then to life and then to mind. It seems that there's something that's trying to happen here. So what now we would call spirit is the creative drive in the universe to give rise to ever greater complexity. That's what I would choose to call spirit, as the creative motive or the creative force of becoming in the universe. Not some divine being that exists outside the process, but really who we are at our very best, because at our very best, human beings are very creative, and the greatest architects of human history were very creative individuals in all fields of human endeavor that gave rise to potentials in art and science and politics, and philosophy and spirituality that never existed before. And so it's this drive towards creativity that in this new evolutionary spirituality we call the new spirituality, the new mysticism.
Wonderful answer and quite interesting. I almost feel like there needs to be a new camp of spirituality, and perhaps as I dig deeper, maybe that's exactly what you're presenting here, and it's this sort of evolutionary, like we have Catholicism and Protestant, you're an evolutionist or something that believes in a different source of energy and drive and a more logical, more in tune with really what's happening. Is that accurate? Again, and that was a pidgin English explanation, but did that make sense to you?
The point is here that, up until relatively recently in human history, our perception of reality was that history was static, that nature was static, that the universe was static. And of course, we found out, especially we found out in the 20th century, and even more the second half of the 20th century, that not only is the universe not static, but it's getting bigger all the time. We're finding out more and more that there's more and more and more of it, and we're finding out it's also in a creative process, and we understand more how biological life is part of a creative process, and how the birth of mind gave rise to culture is also part of a creative process. And so that's what the religions didn't know. That they didn't, they saw that we were part of a static cosmos and in a static nature and a static culture, and we realized that's not true. So in this new evolutionary approach to spirituality, it's all very future oriented, because if we're going somewhere, ultimately, we want to take responsibility for where we're going, especially in a world that in which we see needs improvements in so many areas. It's not a God on high that's going to make those improvements. It's you and me right here and now.
Let's take a station break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with some fascinating discovery here on where we're going and why we're going there. Really, this has been fantastic. Just a quick break, everyone. Back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit Location3Media.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Warning, listening to WebmasterRadio.fm daily may cause webmaster insomnia and an increase in your company's profits. WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay up with us all night long. WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Andrew, thanks for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm enjoying it.
So I've done some pretty good challenging here, but let's talk about the greatest obstacle that you're seeing right now for embracing this evolutionary enlightenment that you're trying to bring to us all.
So the obstacles would be many. For example, the great religious traditions, for example, would have problems with the whole notion of evolution because it often questions the mythical stories about creation that they adhere to. So many of the great religious traditions would have problems with the whole notion of evolution and do have problems with the whole notion of evolution. Then there are schools within our science community that would say that are very convinced that evolution is more or less accidental, that we're really meandering around and that there is really no direction to the process. So those would be individuals that would have questions with this. And also I think in part of our postmodern culture, there is a fear of big ideas. You know, because the thing is, evolution is a big idea. When you really awaken to it, it gets you very excited about being alive right now, because you realize there's a big direction that's made it possible for us to have the experience we're having right now. But a lot of postmodern intellectuals, are very suspicious about big ideas and don't necessarily, I think all big ideas are dangerous. So I think those would be three examples, individuals that adhere to the mythical and magical thinking of the great traditions, certain schools of in science, and also postmodern intellectuals might all have trouble with this new big idea.
I've been really quite disgusted, and I'm sure you have as well, with some of the the media, churning the global warming challenge we clearly have now into this this sort of denial phase, and the evidence is in fact that ice caps are in fact growing in size in certain places in the world, and this is all hype and myth. I mean, I'm sure that this has been really almost painful for you to hear. Evolution is clearly, if you look at the amount of the damage being done to the environment as a result of China alone, single-handedly, and the pollution in the air. I mean, what has been your reaction to all of that? Are we in a denial phase? Are we at the peak of our denial phase now?
Well, I don't know if we're at the peak of the denial phase, but I think that it is hard to take in the overwhelming nature of the degradation of the environment, and especially what's happening with the warming of the planet. I mean, it's hard to take in. It's so frightening. It's so overwhelming that I think probably most of us are in a state of denial. And because also the powers that be are too busy with other problems to take this very seriously. So the it's because the powers that be aren't in a position to take this very seriously. I guess it kind of gives a direct or indirect signal that maybe it's not that big a problem, but obviously it is. I do have a lot of belief in our capacities for innovation, and I think that if we really organized ourselves and got very focused on dealing with this problem, we could do it. And the only what does scare me is that might not happen because other things might seem to be more important, and then it might be too late.
What can be gained with a greater philosophical understanding of this enlightenment that you're speaking about?
Well, the whole idea here is that, for example, a lot of politicians are worried about local problems. They're worried about their local problems and their national problems. When you embrace a big perspective like this, you realize that our human experience has been produced by a cosmic process. The cosmic process gave rise to a biological process, and the biological process eventually made it possible for us to become aware of the fact that we're part of a global process and part of a cosmic process. So it means we get to see beyond our local boundaries. We begin to see beyond our national boundaries, our ethnic boundaries, and begin to recognize we're part of a global process. But even more than that is we begin to see we're part of a cosmic process. And when you're able to see your own experience from these very big perspectives, we can take in that some of these problems are global problems. They're not local ones.
What might surprise us as we join this journey to enlightenment?
Well, I think what might surprise us is the fact that things are the biggest thing I think they're going to surprise people is that, and what most people don't know about is, in spite of all the problems that we're facing right now, for more human beings than has ever been in all of human history, things are better than they've ever been. The more human beings have access to education, to a much higher standard of living, to personal and political freedoms, than ever before. And the world is a less violent place than it has ever been. And so from the big picture perspective, things, in spite of all the enormous problems that we're facing, what most people don't know is that things are better than they've ever been. And that is what's most surprising. And I think if that's true, and it is true, I think that should give us some confidence in our capacity to be able to grapple with some of these overwhelming problems.
Let's take a station break and back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search. Social. Display. One platform.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
You have arrived
at the destination for education and entertainment.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Because not everyone's last name is Gates.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Before we ask you for contact information and how to join the revolution, or the evolution, I should say, the evolutionary revolution that you're leading, I'm curious about your actual personal life. Do you make a living doing what you're doing right now? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I do is I give talks. I travel. I just got back from. I was on a trip for 2 weeks. I was in New York, Stockholm, Copenhagen, Amsterdam. I just got back. So I teach, I speak, I travel, I lead retreats in Europe and in America and in India, and I write books and I write blogs and I speak to people like you. I'm at this 24/7.
Hmm. Fascinating. And how long have you been doing this? You left your position as editor-in-chief of Enlighten Next, which you held for 18 years. How long have you been focused on the speaking circuit?
And the magazine was really a part of what I was doing.
This is really an extension of that. Wonderful. Fantastic. Well, tell us who you would like to get a hold of you and how people can connect with you and how they can access your book.
Well, my website is www.andrewcohen.org. And if people are interested in my new book, they can get it at www.evolutionaryenlightenment.com.
Terrific. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's been a real joy to talk to you.
Well, thanks again. It was a real joy, frankly, to talk with you as well. I really applaud what you're doing and the enlightenment you're trying to bestow upon the world. So,
thank you.
Thanks
so
again.
Much.
Until next week, everybody. I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks for tuning in to the Life Ship Show. We'll see you next week.